Good afternoon and welcome to the City View podcast. I'm City AM editor Andy Sylvester here in Fenchurch Street. Now, I normally give you the city headlines today, but frankly, having just been out and about, I'll give you some info on what everybody's talking about. That is, of course, what the Prime Minister is expected to announce at 5 p.m. We're recording this just about an hour ahead of time, but as ever with this government, most of it's already in the public domain. We are expecting, amongst other things, the encouragement, if not the mandation, of both vaccine passports and working from home. All of this as a result of an alleged rise in cases of COVID-19 due to the new variant. Now, already the responses are piling up in my inbox, and not just from livid readers inquiring as to how a government whose officials appear to have hosted a Christmas party during the last lockdown has the moral authority to enforce further restrictions on a broadly law-abiding and somewhat knackered British public, be it the hospitality industry, transport networks, airlines and airports, or simply the boss of the grapes, the pub around the corner from the office. There's grave concern of what is to come, and precious little, to be frank, evidence of why such restrictions need to be put in place now. This morning, both Pfizer and Moderna said that the early evidence was that their vaccines, with a third shot, offered plenty of protection against the new variant. All the studies out of South Africa so far, which is one of the world's most advanced countries when it comes to virology, and one of the reasons why they spotted the thing first, further suggests the new strain to be mild. If there is a plan B enforcement, then it's hard to shake the conclusion that it is being done because the extraordinary NHS backlog caused by previous lockdowns has not been brought down, despite the billions and billions of pounds that continue to be thrown at our rather inefficient healthcare system. Make no mistake, if the PM announces restrictions later, by which time they may already be announced by the time you listen to this, if he announces those restrictions without financial support, businesses will close, jobs will go, and our recovery will be set back with long-term consequences. Anyway, now I'm going to speak with Peter Giorgio, the founder and CEO of Supper, a company which has grown at scale over the past 2 years, delivering high-end food from the likes of Hakkasan and Nobu to addresses right across the capital. I'm sure Peter won't like me necessarily saying it, but imagine a high-end, concierge-led, Michelin-star quality delivery, but with better conditions for drivers too. Peter, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me, Andy.
Take us back, I suppose, to, well, two things really, the genesis of the business and then February 2020, March 2020 last year, as it becomes apparent the world's about to turn on its head, what your thought process was then?
Oh, that's, I mean, it was an interesting time. I mean, look, at the end of the day, Supper London was created to be like this premium delivery service. You know, we were very focused on the service and quality, and we concentrated on both the partners, so the restaurants and such that we work with, and the customers. So that was always what we had in our mind when I started the business back in 2015. So when end of 2019, 2020 came along, it was all about getting, you know, these great and wonderful names on board. And I guess when people were forced, like some of the restaurants were that I'd been knocking on the doors, they knew we existed. It wasn't like, you know, I magically struck upon this idea. We'd been in the marketplace for some years, and we'd honed our skills, and people knew who we were. But I guess there was a reluctance by the resistance to doing delivery by some of the really big, like Michelin star restaurants and high end restaurants. So when about 2 weeks before Boris actually decided to make the decision that we were going into this lockdown scenario that nobody knew anything about, it was quite scary actually for everyone concerned, because we had a business that, you know, was delivering food, and we knew that that needed to continue. But by the same token, we didn't know what it meant for everyone. So when 2 weeks before that happened, there was chatter about it around the world, you know, that this was happening in Italy and China. And so the really big restaurants that have global presence knew about this, and they started calling me and emailing me and asking how quickly they could be onboarded. Right. And I'm talking about the really big names, you know, the Hakkasans and the Zoomers. And kind of, so it started a few weeks before lockdown, and then lockdown, it was just like a tsunami of inquiries, of inbound inquiries.
And what's, in terms of your We'll talk about how that was. I mean, let's talk about it now. You know, how does it work scaling a business amidst those unprecedented circumstances? Because presumably all those new inbound inquiries, you're keen to take most, if not all of them on, but that means your service level has to stay at the same level, right? Because Hackersand doesn't want, you know, stuff dropped off at the gate or at the wrong door or anything.
No, and obviously you're dealing with operators who are very concerned about quality, you know, look and feel, everything. So the business was in a great place. We developed a service that everyone, you know, was happy to take on board. There was nothing we had to tweak. But you're right, the scaling and the growth. I mean, we grew in that year over 700%. And that was kind of the revenue kind of growth. And then obviously staffing growth, we were up by 400% by year end. So all of that is a challenge. One I welcomed, I might add, because I'd waited a long time for this kind of spotlight to be shone on the business. It was unfortunate it happened to be in a pandemic scenario, but, you know, we embrace all kind of business. So I guess the main problem was we didn't want to compromise. So the training still had to occur for all the drivers, but we were able to cherry pick. I mean, there were some great hospitality staff that were now on the market that didn't have jobs. So we took very experienced hospitality people in-house and to do the delivery work. But the main problem was getting these vehicles from Japan. We already, funny enough, we put an order in February just before the pandemic. We'd got some funding in and we put an order in for like 60 of these vehicles. But the main problem we faced was once the pandemic meant that we went into a lockdown scenario, you know, shipping and everything kind of was really messed up. It was, we had to wait 3 months for these things to arrive. So we really had to think on our feet. And once again, like you say, we didn't want to compromise on service and quality. So the way we had to do it was in a really controlled way. So we were bringing on, you know, maybe 10, 15 restaurants a week rather than, you know, next day switching on hundreds. So over a period of 3 months, we scaled as best we could and managed it all.
I was going to ask about that, the training element of that, because one of the things that I know as a company you're proud of is that you, despite being sort of seen within the delivery space, your relationships with your drivers is different from the model employed by, you know, the providers that we probably see floating on the stock market.
Yeah, look, from the beginning, I've always been interested in being seen as a, you know, personally, as well as professionally, an ethical employer. I believe in people being paid correctly for the work they do. And these guys, you know, I did a lot of deliveries early on. This is no mean feat. It's really tough out there, especially now, you know, we have a storm today. Nobody wants to be out there. So why do you pay these guys, you know, like below minimum wage? In some circumstances, you know, it goes on. We've never done that. I believe in showing these guys commitment. And when you show them commitment, you know, they give that back. I mean, we're a luxury delivery brand, right? So you need for that to filter through all the way. It can't just be the app's great, the restaurants you've got on board's great. You need everything to work perfectly. And I believe if you're going to do that, you have to pay people accordingly, you have to treat them accordingly. And what we've done this year with renewed funding that we've just had at the beginning of the year is we've built a special training facility for these guys. It's kind of a hub where they can socialize. They have all their equipment in there. They pick up their bikes there. And it's been a real game changer. We have a real community now of drivers and it's a real camaraderie. And I feel the service has benefited from all of that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that's the workplace culture discussion has obviously come into sharper focus this year with sort of people working from home and working in the office. But there's no question that getting people together in one place, as a rule, tends to sort of improve that morale and improve the quality of service at the end. One thing I was going to ask you is, obviously, we've had, you know, a version of normal over the past few months in terms of thinking about the world beyond the pandemic. It sounds as if that's now a little bit 50-50 for the next few months, potentially, according to some reports out this morning. But working on the theory that at some point we will move on from living with, you know, the hanging axe of COVID-19 restrictions. How do you ensure that all of the experience that you've had during those sort of pandemic periods translates into continued growth in the normal time, so to speak? Or do you think we've sort of crossed the Rubicon where people no longer think anything of having luxury food in delivered?
It's a great question. Well, firstly, we benefited from an extended lockdown, right? So the kind of business that we had set up meant that you need, it's not built in a day, this kind of business.
Of course, yeah.
The premium element takes time for people to incorporate into their lives. You know, you get early adopters, but to be more of a generalist kind of ordering pattern, you need it to be in people's lives for a bit longer. And we got that. We had 18 months of this, really, even though there was a bit out of lockdown in the middle. So it's become habitual now. I think whether you view it as a treat from ordering some of these restaurants, whether it's your everyday living, or whether you just want a better style of delivery, and it doesn't just incorporate restaurants now. We work with stores and high-end retailers, department stores as well. So there's a whole mix now, and I believe in that luxury element. There's no reason why delivery should be a guy with a bicycle schlepping anything about. It doesn't matter whether it's food or groceries, whatever it is. I just feel as if that element should be brought across in everything. So, you know, now they've adopted restaurant food, and we still have great growth this year, even though, you know, there's a lot of chatter about when we've come out of the pandemic, you know, it would fall off. People would just go back to eating out. Yes, they have to some degree, but people have got used to having this kind of service at home. And so they've adopted that, and they're using it, whether they use it once a week now or three times a week, you know, those things have changed slightly, but it's not going anywhere. So what we've tried to do this year is just hone our skills and just make everything better for the customer and the experience. And we're looking to the future now. So even though we're out of lockdown, there are headwinds in the industry. Staffing crisis, for a start, is hindering a lot of our hospitality partners. And that's not just restricted to restaurants. You know, some of the big department stores that have restaurant offerings and also food halls, they're struggling to get their staff in as well. So some of them have had to shut the channel down. Some of them have restricted days. Those are the kind of things that we're experiencing. But the business is moving forward. We're going to expand our footprint across other areas of London we don't currently operate in. And we have some great initiatives going into 2022 where we're going to double down with our partners and go into areas they've never been into before.
Well, we've got lots of hungry reporters and editors here who no doubt of an evening will be sampling your wares in the not too distant future. Peter, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Andy.
That was Peter Giorgio from Supper. And that's all from us at City View today. Find out the implications of the PM's announcement in your paper tomorrow morning.